to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Salam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang, our last segment on Thursday Live. And today for this discussion on the chapter 8 of Prema Vahini, Bhagwan has sent to the studios two guests, two former students of his institutions, Brother Raghunath Sharma, who teaches the students of mathematics and computer science in the Prashantinilam campus, and Brother Bhargav, who works in the administrative block of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. If you have been following this series, dear listeners, Sai Prakash and myself, we've been discussing Prema Vahini chapter by chapter. We've done nearly 19 weeks and we've barely managed to come to the 8th chapter, because every time you take one sentence of Bhagwan and there are so many beautiful nuances, so many beautiful dimensions that Bhagwan continuously gives us, and every person has a new perspective, every person gives a new meaning, every time it is fresh. And I hope as you listen to it, it is also filling you with beautiful ideas and inspiration to make these messages a part of your being. So with prayers to Bhagwan and gratitude at his feet for giving us yet another session to ruminate on his message, and also for sending to the studios two former students of his college, we begin today's session. So we've been discussing the chapter 8. We've done three paragraphs, three segments, and maybe I should play for you these first three segments, what we have discussed till now, because we have today two guests. It would help them also to follow the stream of thought that Bhagwan has been leading us to as we come to the end of chapter 8. So let me play for you the first three segments of chapter 8.
Satyame Devudu. Viti nannintini sadhinchutakoraku telisukunataku naitikata ane balamaina punadi kavalanu. Satyasatya vivechana cheyuchu ellappudu satyamune grahinchavalanu. Sarasara vicharana dwara సారమునే పొందవలను. చిప్పలను పారవేసి ముత్యములనే గ్రహించు చందమున జీవితమును ప్రారంభించవలను. తరువాత స్వప్రయత్నం, ఈశ్వర కృప, వీని బలంతో పురోగమించవలను. ఈ సాధనయందు దేహము నుండి ఆత్మను వేరుచేయు అభ్యాసము చేసినచో అది మనకు చాలా సహకారి అగును. మనము ఏ విచారణ చేయుటకును మొదట సత్యాసత్య విచారణ చేయుట సర్వశ్రేయస్సు. ఆ విచారణ ప్రతి లౌకికమునందు కాని వ్యావహారికమునందు కాని ఇక ఏ చిన్న విషయమందైనను సరే అది అవసరం. సృష్టి, స్థితి, లయము అన్నియును ఆ సత్యము వలననే జరుగుచున్నవి. సత్యమే తాను. సత్యమును కనుగొంటిమన్నా సర్వేషునే తెలుసుకుంటిని.
ట్రూత్ ఇస్ గాడ్. ఫర్ నోయింగ్ యాజ్ వెల్ యాజ్ అచీవింగ్ ఆల్ దీస్, what is needed is the formidable foundation called ethical life. One should constantly discriminate between truth and untruth and always take the truth through inquiry into what is of essence and what is not. One should seek to attain that which is of essence. Just how one discards the shells and preserves the pearls, life too should begin in this manner. Later, by the strength of one's self-effort and divine grace, one should march ahead. During this exercise, if one practices to segregate the body from the Atma, that would be of immense benefit to us. Before we undertake any inquiry, it is highly propitious for us to first inquire into what is truth and what is untruth. This inquiry is always necessary, be it a worldly or a practical life issue, or even any small issue for that matter. Creation, sustenance and dissolution, everything happens only because of truth. He is truth. That is why, once you know the truth, it is as good as knowing the Supreme One.
ఇట్టి పవిత్ర పరమార్థపు సేవలకు ఆహార శుద్ధి కూడా అవసరం. ఆహారమును పట్టియే మనసుండును, ఆహారము మితంగా ఉండవలెను. ఆహారము ఎంత అను విషయం కన్నా ఎట్టిది తినుచున్నామన్నది ముఖ్యం. భుజించు ఆహారమునకు పరిణామం అవసరము. అసలు మనం భుజించుటెందులకు? ఉత్కృష్టమైన సేవ చేయుటకు. సేవయును యజ్ఞమును ఫలప్రదమును చేయుటకు ఆహారము ప్రధానము. ఆహార పరిశుద్ధి విషయమై మానవుడెంతో శ్రద్ధ చూపవలెను. ఈ రీతిగా మానవునికి తొడుగు అయిన దేహమును చూచుకుంటూ గుణములను అలవరుచుకున్నటకు ప్రయత్నించి క్రమక్రమేణా దేహాభిమానమును వదిలి ఆత్మానంద మార్గమునకు సులభంగా దారి తీయగలము.
To undertake the sacred acts of serving the Lord, purity of food is essential. As is the food, so will be the mind. Food partaken should be in limits. More important than the quantity of food is the quality of food we consume. There has to be a transformation of the food we partake. Actually, why do we eat? So that we can perform service of the highest order. If our seva yajna, our sacrificial acts of service, has to attain fruition, food is of principal importance. Man should show intense attention to the purity of food. In this manner, by taking care of the vesture, that is the human body, and at the same time striving to imbibe the virtues, one can slowly reduce attachment to the body and easily tread on the path to experience Atmanandam, or the bliss of the self.
ఇన్ని చేయవలసిన కర్తవ్య కర్మలు ముందుంచుకుని సాక్షాత్కారమును సాధించవలెనన్న సాధ్యమగునా? ప్రవర్తన మార్గం వల్ల పవిత్రతను పొంది ఆ పవిత్రత మూలమున పరమార్థమును తెలుసుకున సాధ్యమగును. లౌకిక లోకమున ఇట్టి అనుభవములు లేనిదే యథార్థము అర్థము కాదు. అర్థమైన తరువాత యథార్థమును పట్టుదమన్నా పట్టిన కదా అర్థమగును. ఈత వచ్చిన తదుపరి నీటి చెంతకు పోవుదునన్న నీటి చెంతకు పోయిన కదా ఈతవచ్చును. నీటి చెంతకు వెళ్లి కొన్ని పరికరముల సహాయము వల్లనైనా అందులో పడిన కదా ఈతవచ్చును. నీటి దగ్గరకే వెళ్లకున్నా ఈత ఎట్లు వచ్చును? అదే రీతిగా పరమార్థపు మార్గము ఏ రీతిగానైనా ఏ ఆధారము సహాయముననైనా మనం సాధన మొదలిడిన కదా ఆ పరమాత్మని విషయం బోధపడును.
Given that there are so many acts and duties staring at an individual, is it possible to attain realization? One needs to attain purity by pursuing the path of sacred behavior, and subsequently, through this purity, it is possible to recognize divinity. In this materialistic world, without such experiences, one cannot understand the reality. If one says one will pursue reality only after understanding it, isn't it true that only after pursuing it one can understand it? One may say that I will get into the water only after I learn to swim. However, isn't it true that only after one gets into the water can one learn swimming? One needs to go near the water, carry along required equipment, and jump into it. Only then swimming can be learned, isn't it? If one does not even go near the water, how can swimming be learned? Similarly, when it comes to the divine path, matters concerning the divine can be understood only when we, in some manner or the other, with the help of something or the other, begin our sadhana or our spiritual efforts.
So, well, there is so much to digest there. I think if I try to look at it one way, you have in the first segment Swami stressing so much about we should be able to all the time distinguish between what is truth and what is not, even as we lead our regular mundane lives. And then Swami moves on in the next segment to talk about how food is such an integral part of this whole process. And Swami says you have to take food to take care of your body so that you can get rid of body attachment. And then comes the insistence of Bhagwan on taking that effort, of making that effort. Yes, sacred behavior is essential. Purity is essential to recognize divinity, but it does not come free. You've got to really put in that effort. You've got to really start that process with right earnest. So before we move on to the next segment, Brother Raghunath Sharma, you have any thoughts, Brother Bhargav, from whatever Bhagwan has is communicating in these segments?
As you rightly put it, the first part Swami actually mentioned about the three aspects, vichakshana, swaprayatnam, and Ishvara Krupa. Vichakshana is what Swami is actually basically trying to stress in the first part. He said how you distinguish between the Atma and Anatma, self or non-self. So I think Swami is stressing about how we develop that mindset to be constantly aware of traveling the spiritual path.
Yes.
See, that is karma shikshana or discipline. So once we get tuned to it, our mind automatically develops that power to choose the right thing over mundane and, you know, something that is not necessary. And next, Swami says the basis for this is food, importance of purity of food. Swami always has been stressing the need for taking the food from right people, and that you earn righteously, right? And patra shuddhi, paka shuddhi, padartha shuddhi. And shastras also say that bhukti mukti dayini, right?
Mm-hmm.
The influence of food is so great. There was one small kind of a joke that Swami used to share with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please.
It seems there was one this person who goes around talking about God and his leelas, like Purana Kalakshepam, they say.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Talk about God stories, all that. So people will come in the evening, sit and then listen to him, and then they disperse. So one day it so happened that Swamiji came and that person spoke about the stories of God. And when everybody dispersed, he also eventually got up and then left.
Mm-hmm.
There was one person who had used to keep water for this person regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So during the discourse, he would partake that water. So he went to collect his vessel and that was missing.
Mm-hmm.
He was very hesitant. How can I ask that person who is regularly talking about God,
yes,
what happened to my... But he mustered the courage and finally went to that guy.
And if it was a silver tumbler or something, then it would be even more tension.
And to his surprise, yes, it was there in his place, that thing. Mm-hmm. That vessel was there with him.
In his house.
If you don't mind, I would like to...
And only kept it for you to drink water.
Tomorrow also I can serve you. Oh my God, how come I got it? Without my knowledge, I got it. By the way, I also had food in your house today. So tell me who made the food. And this person who used to keep the water, he recounted that actually he called somebody else to cook the food that day because he was hard-pressed for time. And so that person seems to have had a history of stealing all that.
Oh.
Right? This is just to convey that how the the vibrations
yes.
go into your the preparation of food.
Food.
So remembering God's name while cooking food, all that is so
yes.
very important, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, that's one thing I wanted to share with you.
Yeah. Anyway, Raghunath Sharma sir, I've already done some lot of justice to the first three paragraphs. What I, when I just went through the three paragraphs, what I felt is, like here Swami is like a loving friend. He's mm-hmm. trying to somehow coax you, goad you, just start your sadhana, mm-hmm. do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he always tells a classic, he says to two people he's trying to target. One is those who are actually asleep.
Yes.
Please tell them, please get up, start the path. Mm. And second, what I just saw here, and when you go to 8.4 also it comes that those who are pretending to be awake, I know. Yeah. Swami tells very, very clearly that it's about stage heroes and action zeros.
Mm.
So when he's trying to tell them also, please do some effort and actually realize what it is. Then you talk about it. So he always tells that one place it has virtues and then behavior.
Mm.
It has virtues is like silently start doing something about it.
Yes.
And then when you start walking on the path, you will know what it is actually. Rather
yes.
than just thinking, okay, when I let me get the understanding, then I'll do the work. Like he tells, let me know what is swimming and then I'll go and start swimming. That is not the way he's telling. So
yes.
these two are
yes.
very beautifully, he mentions them. And to just add to this, I think whatever we study in our schools, it some things just remember.
Yes.
Remain in your memory. I remember one shloka which was in 4th or 5th class. I just remembered that. The shloka, it goes like Udyamena hi siddhyanti karyani na manorathaihi nahi suptasya simhasya pravishanti mukhe mrugaha. Means, I remember this should be a topic called Subhashitani, good counsel. As kids used to learn this.
Mm.
It means that Udyamena hi siddhyanti, you have to put effort to get any task done. Just by thinking about it, you won't get it.
Mm.
Like a lion sleeping in a den.
Mm.
Just by thinking about a deer, the deer will not come and
enter its mouth.
Enter your mouth. Exactly. It's a very...
Like Swami's thesis, potato chapati.
It won't come. It's clearly mentioned. So, I just remember this particular sloka. And anyway, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna always tells that Arjuna was very, very upset. Mind is so difficult to control. Hey, we have read this also.
Yes.
So, Krishna tells, Asan Shayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam. I know... You don't need to tell me that mind is difficult to control. But my dear, please put a practice. Sabhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyasa grihyate. So please do the practice. Once you do the practice, it will automatically come.
Yes.
So these are the few things which I just remembered when sir was talking about it.
Wonderful. I think so. You already taken us into the next segment. So let's listen to that and then probably we'll continue our discussion.
Aa margamande prayanam salpani variki దాని సంగతే తెలియదు కనుక ఇట్టి పరమార్థమును గుర్తిడుటకు గుణములు ప్రవర్తనలు ప్రధానమైనవి వాటి ఆధారముల వల్ల రూపములు ఏర్పరచుకుందము పరమాత్మయే నిజం పరమాత్మయే ప్రేమ మానవులు ఎల్లప్పుడూ నిజమైన రూపమును మొదట ధ్యానించి తదుపరి ప్రేమ స్వరూపము గురించి యోచించినా తప్పక ఆ రూపము సాక్షాత్కరించును భక్తులతో సత్సంగము చేయుము దాని మూలమున వివేకము వైరాగ్యము ఆధ్యాత్మిక బలము మనశ్శాంతి కలుగును
దోస్ హూ హావ్ నెవర్ జర్నీడ్ ఆన్ దట్ పాత్ వుడ్ హావ్ అబ్సల్యూట్లీ నో క్లూ అబౌట్ ఇట్ దేర్ఫోర్ టు రికగ్నైజ్ సచ్ ఎ రియాలిటీ వర్చ్యూస్ అండ్ బిహేవియర్ ఇస్ ఆఫ్ ప్రైమ్ ఇంపార్టెన్స్ విత్ దీస్ యాజ్ ద బేసిస్ వీ కెన్ క్రియేట్ ద ఫార్మ్స్ Paramatma, or the Supreme Self alone, is real. The Supreme Self, indeed, is love. People need to always meditate on this real Self first, and then contemplate on the loving form. Their chosen form will then definitely manifest. When one engages in satsanga, or good company, it will result in the cultivation of viveka, or discrimination. Vairagya or renunciation, spiritual strength and mental peace.
So here you have Bhagwan mentioning that unless you actually walk that path, as Brother Bhargava was mentioning, you will never have any clue about it. But it is, isn't it really strange that, you know, when it comes to worldly things, we always take this for granted.
Correct.
I mean, we don't question that, yeah, we got to learn driving and only then we can handle the car. We don't question that, yeah, I got to study engineering and only then I can become an engineer. But I think when it comes to spiritual matters, somehow we think that, you know, we should first get that peace.
Should fall from the sky.
Yeah. Somehow we feel, why should we do all these things, you know? Why should we follow discipline? Why should we do all these things, you know? We are okay to pursue 4 years of rigorous courses, studying 20 subjects per semester for engineering. And ultimately it is just to fill your belly, as Swami says, you know, just so that you can earn some money to make both ends meet. But here is something which can actually give you a bliss which is unending. Here is something which can give you something which can open up a whole new world of continuous joy. And in comparison, that engineering degree is actually nothing. It is just compared to what this is. But we are very much okay. We understand that, you know, there we have to put this much effort. But for this, we feel, oh my God, this is too much. You know, one day also discipline, 5 days discipline, we feel it is too much for us to even undertake this task. Isn't it a bit strange?
Actually, it's a very nice point you mentioned. This is, everybody needs to think about this seriously. Why would somebody undertake engineering, for example? Why would somebody take to fundamental sciences or, you know, a master's course in MBA or, you know, business, economics, whatever it is? It's because he's got a set goal or desire to move towards something. He aspires for it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the desire to, you know, that aspiration itself is the first criteria or first what should you say? Arahata, Swami says.
Mm-hmm.
So you desire me when you need me.
Yes.
Swami used to say this. It's such a beautiful this thing. The day you think that you need Swami, you have already earned the deservedness. Such a beautiful assurance from Swami.
Wow.
Right? People say that because of your samskaras, all that, you get that desire to move in the direction of God, towards God. Right? But very nicely Swami told in the previous one that your satsanga has the power to create that desire.
Hmm.
Yes. See, how you come to know about doing the engineering?
Correct.
Right? Your seniors or...
Yes.
This is something... I mean, I feel this is the most important thing in life.
Hmm.
Coming to know jnatum.
Yes.
Then drashtum praveshtum.
Yes.
Jnatum means coming to know of it.
Yes.
And that is the power of satsanga. Company with good people. After that, drashtum, you would like to experience it.
Yes.
That's what Swami told. Unless you go and jump into the water,
yes,
you will not learn. That is the drashtum part.
Yes.
Praveshtum, once you learn swimming,
yes,
then you really do not actually consciously think about putting your left hand, stroking your right hand. No, it is happening automatically.
Yes.
It's part and parcel.
Right? You enter into swimming and the swimming enters you.
Exactly. Beautiful.
Yes.
So...
Yes.
So one more thing that Swami says in this discourse, somehow you enter, mm-hmm, right, with even some instruments, frills or whatever, you take it and jump in. And in this context, once somebody approaches Shirdi Baba, and Shirdi Baba very nicely told about this aspect of spiritual journey. It can be compared to a journey through forest or through mountain path, all that. You need somebody who can guide you. And that is the aspect of Guru.
Yes.
See, Guru could be a, you know, person who is interested in your spiritual growth, who is ready to give a helping hand. Or it could be at a different level, very, you know, like Dattatreya had.
Yes.
So many gurus.
All the nature. I mean, everybody was a guru.
Ocean was one guru. And
yes.
Python was one guru.
Guru, yes.
Right?
Spider was a guru.
Spider was a guru. And
yes,
a girl with bangles, right?
Yes.
That was one guru. So it's a very beautiful analogy, actually.
Yes.
How, you know, that aspect of guru, that automatically comes to you once you have got the desire to take up the journey towards,
yes, yes,
God.
Just adding to what Sir told, how Swami is... such a subtle guru. I just remembered one incident. If you remember, Brother Sai Prakash, in our first year PG 2000, he did Upanayanam for all of us, mass Upanayanam, if you remember.
Yes, right.
So that time it was very, very lovingly he came and he performed everything. And then after that, I think this was in February. So in August, the full moon of August, generally there's a tradition, I think, that you have to change your threads. Mm-hmm. The sacred threads are changed. Yes. So it's a very beautiful practice we had, that there'll be one or few boys, they'll come with
a tray.
Full tray of sacred threads, and then you'll sit for Swami's blessings. So I was the fortunate one that time, I don't know, because of Swami's grace, he wanted to teach me some lesson that day. It was a beautiful lesson. So we were all, I was sitting with the tray in my hands, with full of all, there'll be around, you know, there are 300 boys in the hospital.
Yes.
So 300 threads are there in my hand, and I'm just sitting, little nervous. So Swami comes for darshan and just takes a whole round, and I was just sitting where we sit for bhajans now, Vedam. So he just approaches, and from far, he looks at me, gives a smile, and tells in Hindi, kya meen pakadne ke liye hai kya? Is it for catching fish? all just laughed like that. Peals of laughter, everyone laughed. Like, but I was totally new, to be very frank. I was just 7 months old into the as a student.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our faculty told, see, whatever Swami tells, even in a very jocular way, there is a lot of significance. I was actually thinking, what is it? Where is the thread in my hand, and what is this catching fish? It's a very, very vague thing. But beautifully came, and he just, with a wave of hand, he just touched every thread which was there in my platter. And just, he was walking back. So this is the beauty of Swami. Like, how subtly he teaches you. So Swami just goes back into the interview room, the music stops, the divine music stops. Someone from behind pats me. What Swami told? So I don't know. He just told, so is it for catching fish? This boy was shocked. He just showed me, he had a book of Gospel of Ramakrishna in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
He told, I was just reading this.
Mm-hmm.
He told, what? I was really curious, what it is actually. So he told, I was reading this just when I came for darshan, where Swami came half an hour into the our waiting there. He told, I read, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa used to tell his disciples and devotees that a spiritual practice is like catching fish. I was like, wow, what is this? What is this? I was really curious. I know, tell me more about it.
Uh-huh.
He's telling, like, you go to a pond, you sit with your fishing rod, put a bait, and wait.
Correct.
And you never know when the fish will catch the bait.
Correct.
Yes. You just patiently wait.
You just wait.
You keep waiting. And once the fish catches it, you take it out. But when it will happen, we don't know. Till it happens, you cannot remove the fishing rod. You have to keep it down. So you have to
be alert. You have to be alert all the time.
The moment there is change in weight.
What a beautiful example.
So I was flabbergasted. What a beautiful lesson. He just came and told something. And to add to it, like, after this thing over, I got this sort of enlightenment, in quotes. So after this happened, so interview was over, and Swami just glidingly came out. He looked at me and just a blessing.
Mm.
You got my message, like, sort of. It was a beautiful letter. So what sir was telling, that spiritual effort with the intensity, with the perseverance and patience is very important. And only Bhagavan Swami can do that relation between spiritual sadhana and catching fish.
Yeah, in fact, this was on the day of the Upanayanam or one day?
No, this was the day when we changed
the thread. Every Rakshabandhan time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because one day before the Upanayanam, Swami told me the same thing.
Oh, is it?
My God. in a very interesting way. So I was sitting there and Swami came and said, ain't you no Brahmanada? Are you a Brahmin? Then I said, yes, Swami. In 1 week, how many times you eat? He was showing his hand like cutting non-vegetarian butcher's knife. I said, how many times in a week? I said, no, Swami. Okkasari kuda tinnava, not even once. He said, ayyo papam. So, you know, he says, ayyo papam. Then he says, you know Bengalis. Tomorrow when you get this thread, sacred thread, tied to one long stick, they will go to the pond, they will look this side and that side. If nobody is seeing them, they'll remove it. tied to a long stick and they will start fishing. All this song.
So that was the relation he was trying to tell you.
He was telling me they will start fishing. Adi, they don't call it fish. Jalapushpam. They call it
it is a flower of water, the lake, the water flower.
So, it's all, and this meaning now I'm getting to learn. I remember this because it was so unique. And just like you couldn't forget it.
I was like, this
so how beautifully this one connects all
things. Oh my God.
Constantly you should keep practicing Atma Anatma. Yes. Just like holding the you know, bait and waiting for the fish.
Yes.
You never know when it is going to come.
Yeah. Patience.
Like Ishvara Krupa, you don't know when it's
when
going to
happen.
Right. So Manava Prayatnam is holding that. Yes. That we have to do our self effort. Very nice one.
Wow. Actually, I got another slightly deviant thought, but you know, when Savarkash, you said that Swami said that after they get the thread, they take out the thread and they use it for fishing. I thought, you know, the whole process of Upanayanam is actually to let us know at a young age of 7 or 8 that, hello, this is the only bond for you which is permanent.
I mean, true.
You know, when you are age, when you are just beginning to know about yourself, at that stage itself, we are telling the boy that if there is any bond that you should have, this is the bond.
Correct.
And that's why, you know, we say it's an almost a ceremony where you are reborn, actually.
Dvija, we call it.
Yeah, Dvija, because you are once again born. Because once you are born from your mother, now when your knowledge actually dawns on you, now you know that who is your real bond.
Yes.
I think that is what is the Upanayanam ceremony is all about, and Gayatri Mantra illumination is all about.
Like,
but what
physical,
we do?
Physical mother protection.
Protection.
Slowly start waning.
Waning, yes.
As you touch.
Yes.
You know, 8
because
years
now you, because earlier you were dependent, fully dependent on the physical mother.
Correct.
You know, you were absolutely helpless for 5 years.
Yes.
You're completely, you don't know what to do.
Exactly.
Everything you need help. Okay. But when you're 7, 8, so that is perhaps the time when your dependence on physical mother should reduce,
correct,
and your
divine
dependence
mother
on the divine mother
divine
should
mother
start. Yes. Should start.
That's correct.
I think that is the transition phase.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, the thought that I got, but because Swami said they remove this, they remove it, and they use it for fishing. It is like, you know, we have got that bonding at that point in time. But what we do, you know, all that knowledge, all that understanding that we have got, instead of using that for gaining that which will give us permanent happiness, you know, we use all that knowledge,
for
all that understanding, just for worldly gains.
Correct.
And then, you know, and then we constantly complain whole life that what, dear, I'm not getting peace. I'm so, I don't have any shanti in my life. So much I have done, so much I have toiled, 50 years, 40 years, and still I don't have a day of peace. I mean, that is
One more thought which came to me, you know, just the starting of this chapter.
Yes.
He's defining this quest for a spiritual, for understanding the spiritual truth as the basis of an ethical life. I mean, you talk about ethics in different contexts. You in management course, you have ethics course.
Yes.
Maybe law, and they also will have law. And in fact, when you ask a judge or a justice, so they say, yeah, it's all defined in the constitution. Were people not living before the constitution was written? I mean, you're talking about law and order, you're talking about ethics, you're talking about morality, everything as defined by the constitution. But there is a law that is beyond all this. There is the essence of an ethical life is something far beyond what just a book can teach you, what a constitution can teach you. And Swami is basically trying to define that. He didn't call them divine values, he called them human values. Because what it means to be a human, just to be what you are, you need to embody these 5 values.
Yes,
so he says, just to lead an ethical life, which you ought to lead, you this pursuit of spirituality is, of pursuit of truth, is the you know, the main first step of leading an ethical life.
Yes.
That itself is such a tall order, I would say.
In fact, you know, as you are saying this, one thought that occurs to me, you know, many times, suppose you are having a conversation with your friend and, you know, as it progresses, something goes wrong, there is a disagreement and, you know, then you get angry for some reason. And then you say, hello man, it's okay, you know, I'm only human here, you know. It's okay. You know, I'm not a saint. So I can get angry. You know, these days you have that kind of attitude that, you know, it's okay to have a little bit of greed. It's okay to, you know, indulge a bit. You know, it's okay to get angry. It's okay to have a little bit of jealousy. It's okay. I mean, you had in the West for many years, greed is good. You know, you're human. But what I feel is we have completely distorted what is human.
Correct.
You know, in the name of saying that, you know, I am human, we take license to do everything that we want to do that is unhuman, actually.
Correct.
That is subhuman.
Yes.
Every time we have to say, as Swami used to say, I remember in our in my school days, Swami used to say, the only sadhana you have to do is every time keep telling yourself, I am God. I am not man, I am God. Then you should say, I am not monkey, I am man. I am not monkey, I am man. You should say, I am not man, I am God. I am not man, I am God. I think that is something which is very profound, and I think we have to really change the discourse, the public discourse today, where, you know, we all the time just say that, yeah, I am human, and so I am allowed to.
And Swami used to say, I am man is half-truth.
Half-truth.
Mm. I am not animal.
Yeah.
The other half. But otherwise what happens,
yes,
this animal instincts,
yes,
or whatever, you know, that percolate into this.
Yes.
Human, you think that is part and parcel of human life.
Mm.
Right? It's, it becomes, what to say, it may even become natural for somebody to think like that. So it is very important that we keep remembering ourselves.
Yes.
I am man and I am not animal. These two should go together.
So beautifully, already you have come to the next paragraph, that is Paramatma or the Supreme Self alone is real.
Yes.
So again, I just remember when Sir was talking, I just remembered one incident again. We all have these graduate programs.
Yes.
So at the end, if you remember, Sai Prakash brother, when our graduate program was there, it is 2001, in the end we all do that, like a little, sort of a small drama. We love you, Swami. We all do that.
We shout in the end.
Shout in the end. So I remember when we did this, then Swami was not very amused. Okay, you know, oh, wow, really you love me? No expression like that. So when this shouting thing came later, like in the later batches, we just went to him, told Swami, we love you. Swami was okay, not very very happy about it. He is still okay. So I just observed it, like down the line, like after subsequent batches. I remember one particular batch, like what they did, they made placards.
Mm.
Like they just sat behind in the Cologne hall and then big placards, we love you, Swami. So after the program was over, they all came together as a group and then
they held
it up and we love you, Swami. Swami was like, oh, it's like he's like, oh, again they're doing drama, sort of a thing. Like, very, very peculiar face he made. I was really upset, like, they are doing with a lot of feeling. They are telling you so much of love and you are not interested in this. So, but I really got my answer. I had to wait for some time. After maybe a couple of days after that, I get a dream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the dream, what happens is I am just sitting in the third block where we generally sit. And Swami has not called me for an interview. This is the problem. To tell him. He has called some other boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just trying to tell him that please ask something about this. So nothing happens, he just gets up, goes into the interview room, and after some time he comes out. And he straight comes to me. So Swami has told something for you. I was wondering, Swami can call me directly and tell, why he has to call someone else and through him tell something to me. So he came and he told me that, I don't know, Swami has told a very vague statement. I just want to tell you what it is. So okay, what it is. Swami told four lines. They're very, very profound. Even now they're ringing in my ear. He says, you say you love me. The real I is always awake. You are always asleep. How can you love me? These are the four lines.
He just came
and told me this.
I think you should repeat that.
I immediately got up from my sleep. I was dazed. What is happening? Even now, it takes time to understand what it is.
Yes.
So, such a profound thing. Exactly what we were discussing. Pretending to be awake. Asleep. He tells, you say you love me, but what is actually love? You don't know because you're still asleep. Once you awake only, you know what it is. So, this is really what he says, that Supreme Self only is real. Nothing else, everything else is
love. And he says, first understand love.
Yeah, I think you should repeat that, Bhargav, that those four sentences.
Yeah, once again.
You say you love me. The real I is always awake, but you are always asleep. How can you love me? These are the four lines.
You say you love me, but you basically have absolutely no clue
about
who you are or what love is.
And I don't know. I never expected that he will give me such a big shot. It's like a tight slap on the face. What you're telling me, love, what you're getting upset. This is what I want from you. This is what you're supposed to do. So even now, when I think it is really profound.
I think
so. Understand. We waking up to the truth.
Truth. Yes.
What is love according to him?
Is loving Swami.
Is loving. Right. Absolutely.
If you really want to love him.
Yes.
You first awaken yourself.
Yes.
To the truth. I mean, it's a very profound. I mean, beautiful. I'm really touched by this.
Yes. And I think at that point in time, you will realize what love is. I mean, correct. All you have to do is discover yourself. That's what sir is telling. In fact, you know, during one darshan, when one lady got up and shouted, Swami, you know, Swami, I love you, Swami, love you, Swami. Swami just stopped, turned back and said, love my message, Swami said.
Oh my
love
God.
My message. I think that is what it is. And I remember in one satsang that we had some time ago, we discussed the difference between liking Swami and loving Swami.
Yeah, it was. it happened actually. I was present that time.
Yes.
All of us were
yes.
surrounding Swami and
yes.
The usual treatment Swami was giving us.
Yes.
And he stopped talking and whenever he wants to correct us, he will do that.
Yes.
Then we'll go and surround Swami and start saying, Swami, please talk to us, all that. So, this is a regular thing that happens in Chantinilayam. Not only students, even with faculty and even administrators.
Nobody is exempted
from that. Exempted,
that.
Because Swami is interested that everybody progresses.
Progresses.
And so, he said, but so beautifully Swami told, no, you don't love me, you like me.
Oh.
If you really love me, then you will follow my message.
Mm.
And Swami gave a beautiful analogy.
Mm.
Dog likes you.
Mm.
Right? Because it has got only that much capability. Mm. Right? It follows you wherever you go, all that. And Swami very beautifully conveyed that even, I mean, I still remember so vivid in my mind. Swami told, we were asking Swami, Swami said, why are you kind of surrounding me and saying that? I am as I am. I have not changed. Only you have changed. So and nothing was getting into our heads, right?
We were
adults sitting. Said, no, Swami, you used to walk between us.
Oh my God.
Between lines you used to walk. That is not happening now. You are avoiding it. So I said, okay, I'll walk between you. Make lines, he said. We made lines.
Oh.
And Swami kept his head down like this. Okay. Full face is serious.
Mm.
Not looking at him. Walked between lines quickly. So I have walked between lines. Is that okay? Swami asked.
Oh my God.
No, Swami, you are not talking to us. I am talking now. I am talking to you all. Is that fine? Swami. No, Swami, something is wrong. Right, something is not right. Swami said, I don't want to waste my words because I have respect for my words. If you don't follow my words, then I'll stop talking to you. If you don't follow me, I'll stop walking with you. What a beautiful...
So again, profound statement.
Wow. Such a profound
walking.
Loving and liking. If you love me, you follow me.
Yes.
I'm not interested in you. Like, I mean, basically, he's interested in us. I mean, this is the essence of the experience. It was such a... I mean, I will never forget that. I was in my PG first year or... 1990s, I guess. But yeah, I remember that when you said that.
In fact, I remember when, you know, Rangarajan sir saying this example, like on many occasions when you keep shouting at Swami, you know, and pleading at Swami, please Swami, please Swami, please Swami. Swami will tell you, yeah, that's what I am also telling you, please Swami.
Please Swami.
Please. You are not pleasing me. Simply it's all lip service. Please Swami, please Swami. I think, and here, if you see, I think that one thing that we discussed is so profound here, that the Supreme Self is indeed love. I think all our lifetimes, even if we spend, we will never understand what is love, what is divine love. And that is the whole journey. I think if you have understood the Self, we have understood love. But then Swami says, when he talks about how to contemplate on Him, Swami makes this significant statement here saying you first meditate on the real self.
Good.
And then contemplate on a form. Means your focus should be on the self. The form can come slightly later. And Swami says, because the form can change, that form can become anything. And I was thinking, like, you know, it happens many times also, when people get stuck to a form, you get stuck to a particular manifestation of the divine, and as Swami says many times, you know, you feel, okay, I've meditated on Hanuman for 30 days, you know, for 6 months nothing has happened, and now let me meditate on Devi. You know, maybe now my desires will be fulfilled. And Swami, of course, gives that example, no?
Example of that incense sticks.
Yes.
You put on one deity, next second deity.
Yeah, second deity and third deity. And finally, when he puts on the fifth deity and the fragrance goes to the first deity, then he says, hello, I put it for that deity. Why is this deity taking it? And then, you know, he covers that nose. And that's when the manifestation
just
happens.
Just you, Bishop Brother, in Satcharitra, Shri Baba tells a beautiful thing. He always tells, many places he keeps telling, you worship me only, you always think about me only. At one particular place he tells, let me tell who is this me actually.
Mm-hmm.
He there's a small paragraph which is mentioned in Satcharitra. He tells, me is that which is beyond your thoughts, your feelings, your dogmas, your viewpoints, your name, form, everything. You leave everything, you leave your whole mind away, alone. Whatever is left is me. It is not what you see me as, this form which is there, this 6 feet form. He tells, who is this me is? The one which is beyond whatever is your small self or your little self, whatever you think. Remove everything else, whatever is left is me. So that's what I think Swami tells, that you have to actually start doing the sadhana and making your mind silent. So once that gets silenced, whatever is left is me.
So very nicely told, this aspect of form, what Swami says, has got the power to take you beyond the form.
Yes.
Right. So when we say focus on, like Swami says, first focus on the virtues and the gunas.
Yes.
And associated to that, the form could be Rama.
Yes.
It could be Krishna. It could be Swami. It could be Jesus. Right. But eventually, that worship will cleanse your mind, cleanse your thoughts. You get quietened inside. And automatically you travel beyond the, like if you see, for example, Tyagaraja,
yes,
right, he worshipped Lord Rama. And finally his realization was, Chimalo, Brahmalo, Sivakeshavadulalo, Premamida Velasiyunna. See, what it means is, Lord Rama, you are there in the ant and you are also in the Brahman. And you are resident with all that love. Premamira Velasiyunna, Rama Nannubro. So Lord Rama, who is lovingly residing in every aspect of this universe, may he protect me, may he take care of me. See, that shows how that form worship has actually taken Tyagaraja much beyond the form and this, you know. That's the beauty of this worship Swami is talking about. You start like Samanya Bhakti, right? Then you go into Vishesha Bhakti, then Ananya Bhakti. It's a progression, it's a travel, it is a journey.
So Vishesha Bhakti is the particular form.
Particular form. Samanya Bhakti, you God, I'll like recently my brother's daughter, she's just UKG.
UKG, okay.
She is talking over phone. I said, Pedanana, you bring me this chocolates.
Mm-hmm.
You bring me 10 of them, I'll give you one.
You bring it, then I'll give you one.
So that was such a loving offer. That is like Samanya Bhakti. God, I'll break this coconut for you. You do this for me. Right. That's how you enter. So I said, take up that journey.
Yes.
Start it.
Yeah.
Then you start worshipping his qualities and, you know, you are charmed by his personality, the Rama, Krishna, I mean, whoever it is, whichever form it is. And finally you realize that it is that pure, unsullied love, which is beyond all these, you know, these infringements and, you know, constraints and your notions. It goes much beyond that. That awakening happens. Why? That happens because you got purified and your heart, like pure mirror, it reflects the sun which is God. It's basically cleaning that is going on.
Yes, yes.
Right? So eventually it has to lead to that.
Yes.
That is the journey I think everybody should take up, and that is the self-effort Swami is telling you. You first jump in. Right. It's such a nice...
Basically, you are all the time busy only removing that which is not you.
Correct.
It's like that statue being made, you know, from a rock.
Correct.
So basically, a sculptor only removes
the
everything that is not Krishna.
Correct.
Then what is will remain is Krishna.
I just, again, I'm reminded of Raman Maharshi's, I know all of you know Sadhana, who am I?
Yes.
Even I also had this question. If I say, who am I, what will happen actually? He used to say, just keep telling, who am I? So after a stage, what actually will happen? So this doubt I also had. What is the final outcome of it? So there's a book called Day by Day with Bhagavan. So in that, there is a conversation between devotees and Raman Maharshi. So one devotee asks him, I'll say, who am I? What actually will happen?
Mm-hmm.
So he smiles, nothing will happen actually. No reply will come. The person who is asking, who am I, will get dissolved. Basically, there is no answer, only silence will remain. You keep asking his question again and again, or you keep doing Namasmarana, whatever, Rama, Rama. A stage will come where everything will stop. So, even I had this doubt, okay, if I ask who am I, if from inside someone will say, oh, I am this. It's not that. The words will stop, there will be silence, which is say the Prashanti, what you call it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Prashanti, Swami says, Prashanti, Prakanti, Paramjyoti. So that's what here Bhagavan is saying. I mean, even as we were talking about contemplation, the other thought that came to me is this concept of Jyoti meditation that Bhagavan used to talk about. Swami used to say that from the various kinds of meditation that is prescribed, Swami used to say that even if you focus on a form also, that form also is likely to change. So focus on the light. The light is the best thing to focus your attention on, because the light is steady, the light is always up, and the light is unwavering. Swami says, just focus on that. And inside that light, you can imagine any form. And you can bring in that light to yourself and, you know, enlighten every part of your being, and then, you know, move on and enlighten every part of the cosmos, and then become one with that light, ultimately. I think that is the whole journey. And here, as Raghunath Sharma sir also mentioned before, one important thing that I'm also noticing, you know, as we've been doing these Vahini satsangs, one thing is food, that you find a reference to that of Bhagavan in many discourses apart from, you know, Prema Vahini, that food is such an integral part. I never thought that, you know, what we eat is actually so important for spiritual progress.
But just to add, I think Swami, I remember once in 2000 summer course time, he told food doesn't mean that whatever you eat with your mouth only. He always says ahara,
yes,
vihara.
Yes.
Whatever you see,
definitely,
whatever you listen.
Definitely. I mean, food through all the senses.
All the senses. All the senses. Whatever.
Definitely. I mean, definitely. But, you know, that doesn't mean we can discount the food. I mean, but what we take physically also is so significant. I mean, it starts with that. Basic, it starts with that. And of course, food through all the senses. And the second most important thing is this satsangam.
Satsangam.
I think in the first chapter itself, the Swami talks about satsangam. Satsangam is such a vital thing for any person's journey in the spiritual path. And here also Swami says, when one engages in satsanga, then it will result in viveka and vairagya and spiritual strength and mental peace. I mean, that is what...
That's the very first...
yes.
I mean, very first step is satsangatva.
Yes.
With that comes nisangatva.
Nisangatva.
You really go beyond the worldly attachments, all that. It has got such a power. Yeah, that's the first
step. And I think once you have that, that Swami says everything else is achieved, because what else do you need? Mental peace, spiritual strength? That's all the time everyone, nobody understands moksha, but everybody understands peace.
What is peace?
So if we see the journey that we have covered till now, so here, you know, in the third segment, Swami was so insistent that you should make that effort. And then here, in the segment that we just discussed, Swami is very clear that you got to start that journey. Virtues and behavior is very important. And as we discussed, this, once you start that journey only, you will, like Tyagaraja, your Rama, or your Rama will become that Brahma which is there everywhere, and then you will realize that that Brahma only is Prema.
Correct.
I think that Brahma will become Prema, and your Rama will become that Brahma which is there everywhere, and that's what Swami is telling. Everything
there's
will become love.
There's another thought I just want to share with you all. This Swami was once talking to us about Sadguru and Guru, Jagat Guru. And Swami said, nowadays there are a lot of Gurus. Okay. And there will be 10 fellows behind the Guru, and they all will be shouting, Jagat Guru. Right? And hardly there are 10 people following you. Right? And very nice, Swami said. So, if, in our life also, actually, if we think, we have, first we start with a Guru. And then, you know, once you start following him, he becomes your Sadguru. And when does your Sadguru become your Jagadguru? Right? Jagadguru actually means your world. When your world is filled with that Guru, like everything you do in your life is for him.
Beautiful.
Yes. Then he becomes your Jagadguru. Right? So long as you are giving importance to his, you know, words, and you are only appreciating him, right? You have a lot of respect for him. He is your Sadguru, right? But to make Sadguru as your Jagadguru, you travel from liking to loving.
Yes.
Right? You really follow him. Because every inch of your body, you know, is, you know, vibrates with his, you know, his name and his message and his love for him, so on and so forth. Then automatically these aspects will be taken care of. Right? So that Jagat Guru becomes your, that's why till Arjuna said, I am your Sishya.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Till then, like Swami was telling us, when did Krishna actually started giving the Bhagavad Gita to Krishna, to Arjuna? Said, waited for Arjuna's gas to get over. This is the word Swami. Because first few, like, you know, so many shlokas, there is only Arjuna's kind of ranting.
Yes. Yeah.
Arjuna Vishada Yoga, whatever, yes. Right? And Swami very beautifully said, the Vishada of Arjuna became a yoga. Because that Vishada was for the society and not for himself. That's why Vishada became yoga, Vishada Yoga. And Krishna allowed him to rant and keep on, you know, talk. And finally, Arjuna's gas got over. And when Arjuna...
He was totally empty now.
Then only he can put.
Then only he can put.
So Krishna did not speak.
Before.
He just waited, okay, let the guy, you know, keep emptying it. Then only he can put something. The moment Arjuna said, I am your Sishya. Okay. And then his discourse started.
Yes.
Till you agree that he is your guru, he is your Sadguru, Jagadguru, right? You are not ready to receive it.
Yes.
Right? And that's why all this, whatever, you know, Swami is telling in this, how you start your journey. Slowly you focus on, you know, the virtues and gunas, and finally you focus on the love of that, whichever form you are worshipping, which has got the power to develop your, you know, detachment to the body.
Yes.
Swami very clearly said the definition of spirituality is what Swami said, the mamakara or ahankara for the body. Body, that thing should reduce. That is the actual definition of spirituality.
Basically, attachment to God. Once you're attached to God, then you'll detach from everything that is not God. And that is the journey.
About love, when Swami is talking about love, you were mentioning like how you grow to start doing everything for Swami. Correct. Like that was the greatest advantage we had.
Yes. We have the physical.
We had Bhagawan with us. So every action we did, we offered it to him, and that was with love. So there's an incident, there's a personal incident which came to mind. Like I think 2002 in all probability. So I had gone to the hostel to set up a camera, because Swami was going to visit the hostel, and then Swami came out in the morning and he asked one of the boys, where is that harmonium boy? Then he said Swami went to the hostel to set, just check the camera and all that, and Swami said, ah, manchidi, manchidi. He is playing harmonium very nicely, Swami told him. Then this boy, he knew me and he used to work here in the studio, so he said Swami is talking about him nicely, so he told two three more things. He said Swami, he plays harmonium, he used to do a lot of drawing, painting also, and now he is learning camera work.
Okay.
He is learning video editing, camera work, he is learning shooting, editing. Swami said he has not learnt anything. Okay. He is not learning anything. Then that boy was looking at him. Then Swami smiled and said, but he is doing everything with love. So automatically everything will come out good. అన్ని ప్రేమతో చేస్తున్నాడు కాబట్టి అన్ని బాగా వచ్చేస్తాయి. సో దట్ లవ్ వెన్ యూఆర్ సేయింగ్ నో వీ హ్యాడ్ దట్ ఆపర్చునిటీ లైక్ ఫర్ అస్
దట్స్ ద పవర్ ఆఫ్ ఫిజికల్ ఫార్మ్.
కొడైకెనాల్
వీ వర్ లైక్ వన్ డే వీ వర్ వెరీ స్పిరిచువలీ యునో యూ టచ్ దోస్ లెవెల్స్ యూ సడన్లీ స్టార్ట్ స్పీకింగ్ లైక్ స్వామి హెస్ గాట్ వెరీ నైస్ వే ఆఫ్ బ్రింగింగ్ యూ డౌన్
గ్రౌండ్ లెవెల్.
అండ్ సో వన్ బాయ్ ఆస్క్డ్ అపారెంట్లీ సెడ్ స్వామీస్ వాట్ ఇస్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆస్పెక్ట్ అండ్ ఫార్మ్లెస్ ఆస్పెక్ట్. ఐ ఫీల్ దట్ ఫార్మ్లెస్ ఆస్పెక్ట్ ఈస్ మోర్ పవర్ఫుల్ దాన్ ద ఫార్మ్.
He told Swami. Oh my God.
Pichi pichi ga maatladutunnanu. If really formlessness has got so much power, then why should people come to Parthi like anything? Why should they throng this place? And Swami very beautifully told. I will never forget those words. And this is these are the gems of all the essence of your Puranas or Vedas, all that. No, that's what you get from Swami. And Swami very beautifully said, the form is very, very powerful. People and rishis and sages, they pray for ages for this form to come. So when Krishna came or Lord Rama came, you know, it was to fulfill those prayers.
Yes.
By sages and seers. And therefore, God takes the form and then descends. Right? And then Swami said, the form has got the power in its presence to cleanse your heart. See, that's what we all used to experience.
Absolutely.
Swami came for darshan. He just passes by you.
Yes.
And you feel that, you know, heart is totally cleansed, and that moment, so you feel so pure and you are so peaceful. You know, peaceful. And one of the sadhakas, he was speaking to me, he said, when I was in Mumbai and when I do my serious sadhana, several days I do, and for a split of a second, for a very small moment of time, I experience this feeling that Swami is giving to everybody with his darshan, which lasts for so much time. I mean, that's when I understood the importance of, you know, what physical form is.
Yes.
I mean, it is our Swami was, again, sorry for saying, I'm going back to another incident. Swami was talking to me, interview, I was in full bliss. He said, Swami, janma, janmala punyam Swami, births and births punya, that I'm sitting right now next to you, I'm feeling this. I couldn't help telling it to Swami directly. Like generally we don't tell that to Swami, you know, words. But I, my heart melted and said, Swami, janma janmala punyam Swami, you have kept me close to you. Swami said, కాదురా జన్మ జన్మల 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 పుణ్యం. డోంట్ రిడ్యూస్ ఇట్. దాట్ ఈస్ ద పవర్ ఆఫ్ ఫామ్. స్వామి సెడ్ నెవర్ నెగ్లెక్ట్ ద ఫామ్. స్వామిని మీతోనే ఉంచుకోండి, స్వామి దగ్గరే. యూ ట్రై టు బీ విత్ హిమ్ అన్ హిస్ దట్స్ వై being, you know, developing that greed for Swami's form is not at all harmful, brothers. I'm not able to stop. Just one more incident, stop, right? And many times I have spoken about this. Like, we used to rush for Swami's physical proximity in Vrindavan as students. And once an elderly VIP, VK Narasimham Garu, then Sanatan Sarathi
editor.
He gave us a dose that day. Swami asked him to speak. He stood up and then said, you boys are so selfless. You are rushing like...
selfish.
Selfish. Selfish like, you know, you're rushing like, you know, like villagers and, you know, what all, he said. Okay. And he said, this is not the way, indisciplined guys like that. Swami immediately stopped him. And then said,
Narasimhan, don't tell that to boys. This is not selfishness. Don't use that word selfishness. That indiscipline you said, all that, I am okay with it. But don't use the word selfishness in this aspect. Narasimhan Garu got very upset with Swami. Swami, meere pillalandarini paadu chestunnaru
recently. You are only spoiling the boys.
Because of your this too much love for them, they are getting spoiled. And he started, you know, turned his gun towards Swami and started firing.
Oh my God.
Swami was so benevolent, so compassionate, so kind. I mean, it was a sight to see how a devotee can shout at God and how God takes it. I mean, Swami was very patient. Narasimham artham chesko. Understand what I'm saying. This is not selfishness. When you run for God, it is not selfishness. Then he said, Swami, they are not bothered about person next to them. He said, you should not bother anybody next to you when you are rushing for God. Right? Dharmecha artecha kamecha. You are right. You should show, but when you are running for God, you are always alone, Narasimhan.
Mata nasti, pita nasti.
Swami said, when you are running for God, don't think about anything. And Swami said, this is a beautiful lesson. Why am I saying that you should not use the word selfishness? When they are running, where is the time for them to think about others? Swami is supporting us. There is a time for them to think about others. They are not thinking about their body.
Yeah, body. Correct.
They are not thinking whether they will trip over the step and then fall and hurt. They are not bothered whether they will slip on this, you know, fine, yes, you know, surface and then fall. All that is not coming to in their mind. In their mind, only Swami is fixed, yes, and they are running. Yes. That is penance. I'm sorry.
Wow.
That is, this doesn't come to everybody just like that, Narasimhan Swami is telling. Everybody will not get this chance. These people are all blessed. That's why they are coming to me like this. Don't call this selfish, please. And Swami did not lose temper with him. I mean, so nice. And Lakshmi Narasimhan, he slapped his both cheeks like this. He said, Swami, tappa in this, Swami. I will not say this again. He said, and sat down. And we all, you know, celebrated. You know what? Next day onwards, we are not allowed inside Traibunda. For laughing at, you know, that elderly person or whatever. Swami said, these guys need to be taught a lesson. And that's how it is, Swami. You know, life is Swami. What's that lesson, you know, yes.
Beautiful. Wow. I only wish that we didn't have the time constraint. So many beautiful instances. I mean, these are instances, as you said, no, they come to us because you had the chance to actually see the form, live with the form. I mean, living with God is true education, as Bhagwan used to say.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, what would probably take you 20 janmas to experience or grow, with the Lord being with you, you achieve that in 20 seconds, actually.
That's true. Just, I will not take more than a few seconds. In Kodaikanal, once again, one of us told Swami, Swami, chala thoughts ostuntai, Swami. So many thoughts keep coming, and sometimes we feel, we are blessed with such closeness, proximity with you. Is this kind of fair on our part to, you know, get this kind of things? Swami said, just now what you said, right? In my presence, you wash away karmas which take janmas for you. So don't worry about it. Just offer all that to me. Right? Just give it to me. God is like dhobi, Swami said.
Yes.
Right? In my presence, these things happen so that you finish your karma, whatever is for. Yes. I mean, that's such an assurance.
And I think, you know, having seen a Lord like that, having experienced a Lord like that, and today also I feel each one of us, we can create that experience. I think if you have that intensity,
yes,
you can really feel the kind of dreams that, you know, Brother Bhargava has been sharing the previous session also.
Exactly.
He's had such meaningful dreams, such profound clarifications, you know, insight that Bhagavan is giving. We all, there is no reason for us to feel that the form is not there. I think what the form was doing, that that formless aspect is willing to give 100 times that to us if only we have that intensity. And he can do it in a million ways. And he's doing it in a million ways.
Yes.
I think we need to put that effort, as Swami said, you got to jump into that lake. Then he will hold you afloat and teach you how to swim in this beautiful stream that is Prema Vahini, and, you know, become one with that love. Beautiful.
Remember, we thought we won't, we might have to run out of steam. We don't know. 8.4 only.
We still have gas.
1 hour, 8.4 only. We thought we'll go to 9.
Yeah. Well, really, we can only be grateful to Bhagwan for, you know, allowing us to think about him and all these beautiful thoughts that could come in this hour, so that, you know, we are benefited and all of us are in this whole journey helping each other as we march in this path of I to we to he. So dear listeners, so that brings us to the end of today's session of Prema Vahini. Every session has been so beautiful, so enlightening for all of us. Please do share with us what you feel about these discussions, because this is a journey we are doing together. This is a journey we got to help each other out. So please make that jump. Please ruminate on what we have discussed. Open the Prema Vahini. Read. As Bhagwan says, you know, you shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, contemplate. And as you contemplate, you will want to practice. And as you do that, please do share with us your experiences, your experiments. We would only be too happy to share these, because one candle lights another. And when one candle lights another, its light never diminishes. It only glows more happily. So let us encourage more lights to glow. As we glow, we allow and encourage many other lights to glow, so that one day we all become one with that only source of all glow. Please do share with us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. I thank our brother Sargunath Sharma and Bhargav for being with us for this beautiful session, and pray to Swami that we have their satsangam, have their company in the future episodes of Prema Vahini. And to all of you, dear listeners, a big thank you for giving us this opportunity to share his message. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor and the day-long programs on this beautiful Thursday at his lotus feet, praying for his blessings, for his presence. Thank you so much. Sayonara.